New to Sydney Breakfast, it's Mick and MG in the morning on Triple M, and we are celebrating the life of the great Doug Mulray. We lost him. We heard the news overnight. The godfather of radio had passed away at the age of 71, and every time you hear anyone speak about Triple M, often his name comes up, especially in Triple M Sydney, and he was known for so many different skits. One of them was his anti-ads. Here is one from Nana's Apple Pies.
What do you remember most about your Nana?
Her apple pies. They were really special. And what we didn't eat for dinner at night, we ground up into a smooth, fine, creamy paste and massaged firmly into Nana's blotchy but shapely calves. I remember
Nana's
the way she used
apple
to breathe.
Pies. Nana's still looking after you.
Oh, yes, and we're still looking after Nana. Rub, 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 rub.
What a red person.
It was all happening. You
chaos.
Never knew what was going to happen next. A man who's helmed the breakfast show here at Triple M magnificently over time was Andrew Denton, who also had front row seats to the greatest show in radio at the time and possibly ever. He joins us on the show today. Andrew, thank you for joining us. I'm sure you're quite sad about the news. As someone from Melbourne who never knew, we heard all the stories, we all knew of Uncle Doug, can you paint the picture for anyone who wasn't as au fait as everyone in Sydney?
Well, Doug in Mulray, and good morning, Mick, good morning, MG.
Hello,
Doug
Andrew.
In Mulray was a, made himself a legend on Double J back in the day, the sort of counterculture ABC Youth Network, and he was kind of, as he looked, he was crazy. He had these crazy eyes and crazy, but he was much more than crazy. And he started at Triple M when Triple M started, so he was part of the birth of FM radio in Australia. And back in those days, FM radio was, you know, what's that? No one's ever heard of it. And within a decade, he'd taken Triple M to the top of radio. Top of all radio in Sydney. And the reason was, he was crazy. He had a genius for radio. Those in the audience who remember Graham Kennedy as being absolutely suited to television, Doug was absolutely suited to radio, and he could do it all. He could do brilliant impersonations. He was so fast. He could perform. He could sing. And he was prepared to try anything. So in the years when I was working with him, we had an audience of about a million, and it was everyone from barristers to garbos were listening. And then you start to hear people talk about sketches that Dougie did, you know, 30 years later, because he was just funny in a way you could never predict.
Andrew, can you give us an insight into what it was like being in the engine room, being in his orbit as he was creating what, at the time, was going on to be a seminal radio show?
Oh, it was like being on a roller coaster, but hanging on from the outside. And sometimes from underneath. Look, to give you an idea, my job in the early days, I'd sit in the studio with Dougie, and I had these yellow pieces of paper, and I'd just write lines and jokes, and I'd throw them at Dougie, often when he was on air in the middle of something else, and he'd be not only doing his stuff and also had a perfect radio voice. He often said he had a head for radio, and that was true, but he also had the perfect voice for radio.
Yes.
And I'd throw him a line in the middle of him doing something else. He'd sight read it as he was talking and then deliver the line perfectly as though he'd been practicing it for half an hour. But look, there was a fair bit of, what can I say? And by the way, this was not me. This was other people in the studio who will remain nameless, but the name rhymes with Bug Volray, who may have had the occasional joy-making substance, which added to the general ambience of the show.
How did you become the boy wonder? How did you were, I believe you were, I spoke to you about this a couple of years back. You were 19 and you heard about this FM, you know, mega station that was happening. You wrote a way to people. Rod Muir rang you back, and how did you first, as a 19-year-old, come to be sitting in the same studio as Doug Mulray? That's the most unbelievable story ever.
Well, I was older than 19, but thanks, MG. And look, this is a warning to anyone working in radio right now, which, oh, hang on, that's you guys.
Yes,
never, take a holiday, never take a holiday in radio. I was actually, Dougie left Triple M. Rob Duckworth took over, and I became one of his writers. And anyway, we took a holiday after 6 months, and the message came, well, enjoy your holiday, guys. Don't come back.
Wow.
I was like, oh, shit. But that was, it wasn't because Rob was terrible. It's because Doug had decided he wanted to come back. And Doug had heard stuff that I'd written. Anyway, I think we had lunch or breakfast, and we just got on famously, even though we were very different. I often said, the only reason Doug hired me is because I was the only person in radio who was uglier than he was. And I think that's true.
One of the great things about radio is you can do a show and it could be okay or it could be terrible, but you get to come back and do it again the next day. Did you come to work not knowing what was in store for you on any given day?
Always. I mean, yeah. We had sketches and so on written, but that was the joy of it. Doug was a brilliant, spontaneous broadcaster. I remember Fatty Vorton used to do the rugby league roundup on a Friday. And one particular day, Fatty, he said, oh, Dougie, I'll tell you a joke. And he told a joke which you just shouldn't tell on the radio. And the minute he told it, it's like, oh, no. And Dougie's response to it, and I'll try and do it justice because I don't have Dougie's performance skills, but he basically went, he said the word tilt, but he took about 15 seconds to say it. So he just went, tilt, and straight into a song. And I thought, what a brilliant way to respond to a really bad moment.
There's a lot of people around Sydney remembering. We've got so many callers. He affected so many lives. He chaperoned people through certain stages of their life. How will you look back on the great man?
Oh, with a great deal of joy. And, you know, the couple of years we worked together was that, and you've had it, Mick, with Tony, who was one of the great creative partnerships of my life and my career. But, you know, Dougie, he was a very self-lacerating man. He never thought he was good enough. But I think he knew at the end of his life he'd done something which is given to very few. He brought genuine joy into so many people's lives, and that's what he brought into mine.
And any of us who have worked in radio owe him a huge debt. He was a trailblazer, a pioneer, a maverick, all of the above. He should be on some kind of Triple M Mount Rushmore or a big statue out the front. Let's do something. Andrew, thank you for your time today. I can tell you're quite affected by the news, but we appreciate your time and giving us an insight into a little bit about the man. Thank you.
Thanks, Mickey. And you can't put a statue out the front. You'll scare the kids.
maybe on Halloween.
Maybe like a Trevi fountain that could be doing a wee or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Good on you, Andrew.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk.